Tim Gebhardt would be viewed by many as a pretty good-looking dude. I don't know if he's got a face for radio, as the old saying goes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm just not quite sure that was an accurate statement by Tim Alcorn. I think he wanted to couple us all in on that general assessment. Well, we bring in now Mr. Gebhardt. Well, I pumped you up here quite a bit, so you've got quite the high bar to reach, my friend. But thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good, Bo. Always enjoy coming on your show.
Well, you're going to be busy tomorrow. You're going to head on down and cover the EC girls game against Chippewa all the way down at Cuyahoga Falls. And then you mentioned to me you're going to try and get back up here and check out the Division I district championship between Lorain and Strongsville. Very, very busy day for you lined up tomorrow. We'll get to both of those games a little bit later on. But while we're on the topic of boys and girls hoops here in the tournament, just kind of wanted to get your thoughts. Now that we're getting closer to the end of the tournament trail, what would you say this is the most intriguing upset of all the tournament games you've seen so far?
Well, you know, you have to look at Strongsville coming in as an 11th seed and knocking off Avon, then beating Elyria, and then beating Mid Park the other night. Avon and Elyria were two of the higher seeds in the tournament. And Mid Park kind of shocked everybody themselves by beating Olmsted Falls. So I guess that whole bracket down there to get to this point has been kind of a upset special. Everybody's been kind of getting knocked off in that lower bracket.
And I think that's what makes this time of the year so fun to watch, because even if you are a lower seed, upsets are what really make this thing special. You and I witnessed an upset that went the wrong direction for those in the listening audience back on Monday when you and I both drove down to Worcester to see Wellington taken care of by Manchester. That was a very entertaining game for a half, but I thought that was also a pretty big upset.
It was an upset, although I'm sure you having watched that game, that Manchester team, you know, they came in with two or three wide bodies that could go up against Max Jopik, and they had that one shooting guard that made life kind of miserable early for Wellington. And they impressed me. They were a pretty good team. I don't know that Wellington played particularly their best game that night. They certainly missed a couple of their scorers were off, and they didn't shoot the ball very well. But you have to tip your hat sometimes to the other side.
Yeah, and they had some big bodies too, not your typical basketball bodies either, as a matter of fact.
Right. Not just tall, but like you said, wide kids, 200-pounders, football-type kids.
Yes, actually, you know what? So that led me to my next comment. At my old job, I was the SID at Notre Dame College. Well, Notre Dame College head football coach Mike Jacobs was actually at that game, and the Nick Beans kid, one of the bigger kids you referenced, he's been signed by Notre Dame College. He's going to be an interior offensive lineman there in the coming years. But those are the kinds of guys that Jopik and company were going up against, just to give those an idea that weren't there. That was an interesting game to watch because it was close for a half. But I thought that was certainly one of the bigger upsets also. And as we've had a chance to take a look at some individuals here, who would you say have been the most impressive players so far you've seen in tournament action?
Well, you know, Lorain playing in that final on Saturday, everybody kind of thinks back on their last two or three teams, but here's Tavon Pierre-Lewis and Cam Davis. Cam Davis playing defense, and some of the other kids that they've had that have scored, Devin Grant and so forth, that have scored, and they're all still juniors. And it's like this team is still going to be good going forward. It looks like John Rossitano has things going pretty well over there.
Yeah, no question about that. There have been a lot of interesting individual performances throughout the course of the tournament, and that leads us into a game we've referenced a few times already. You know, Lorain going up against Strongsville, and you were telling me a little bit earlier today that you think Strongsville really has a chance to keep this magical run going.
Well, they're very dangerous. I'm sure John Rossitano is concerned because they're playing their best basketball at the right time of year. Early on, I thought that this Strongsville team had an opportunity to be pretty good. They had a pretty senior-oriented team, very good size. They've got a Sean Zier that's 6'5". They've got a guard, Omari Peak, that's listed at 6'6". They've got some other kids that are in the 6'3 range, that Kevin Lowler's a junior at 6'4. They've got Bernie McGivern, a shooting guard at 6', and Ali Awada, another ball handler at 6'2. Though they are a dangerous, dangerous team, as we've seen. Avon got beat by 21. Elyria lost to them by 19. Elyria had beaten them twice during the season. And then here in the tournament, Strongsville knocks them off and knocks them off very impressively. And then they beat Mid Park last night by 18 points. So they've been on a pretty good run. Now, Lorain is going to give them some problems, because I think Lorain plays very good defense. They've got some size out, you know, up front themselves. Pierre Lewis, 6'6", and you know, and so forth. So they'll be all right. But I think it's going to take a good effort. Lorain and Strongsville played, I want to say it was probably the second game of the year. And at that time, Strongsville was coached by Joe Guilfoyle, who's, I'll get into that in a second. But Strongsville gave Lorain a pretty good game that night. I think they might have lost by 5 points, 6 points. And that was prior to the wheels kind of coming off for Strongsville. Guilfoyle sort of lost the team, so to speak. He was not a teacher at the school. He was just a coach coming on board, and I kind of think he lost the team. They ended up losing a lot of games in a row in that Greater Cleveland Conference, and then ending up, Guilfoyle was terminated, you know, maybe 10 games in, 11 games into the season. And the freshman coach, John Lepowski, has taken over and has kind of given them a new life, a little breath of fresh air, so to speak. I talked to several of the Strongsville players after the Elyria game, and that's what they were saying, that they've just been, felt like there was a big load off their back with Lepowski taking over, and they're playing much looser and playing much better, and maybe playing up to their real potential. And that's kind of scary for Lorain coming into this game on Saturday.
Again, we're talking with Tim Gebhardt of the Chronicle-Telegram here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I want to hit on one other thing before we transition into the EC girls game tomorrow. Tim, you were telling me off-air that when you looked at that Strongsville team before the year began, you said you saw all kinds of potential on that team. What was it you saw before the year began on that Strongsville squad?
Well, the year before, of course, I got the chance to see them play. I saw them play Elyria twice the year before. And that was a real, real strong Elyria team. Elyria had to play them three times last year as well, and ended up beating them all three times. But I want to say one of the games, and now I can't recall if it was the tournament game or the end of the season game, went into overtime, and Elyria barely had a chance to maybe lose that game, and ended up pulling it out. And I could see at that point with people like that Amari Peak and that Sean Zier, they, at that time, juniors, I thought, boy, this is going to be a team to be reckoned with the following year. Well, as I said, they had a lot of turmoil with the coaching change and what took place internally, and they just never really put it together. But now, you know, with this freshman coach who's known these kids all through their high school careers, it's kind of given them a little fresh air and giving them a different opportunity, a different outlook, and they're playing very well, as you can see.
Well, speaking of playing really well, the Elyria Catholic girls have been playing extraordinarily well all year long. They survived a 3-overtime thriller against Newton Falls to advance to this Saturday's game. Tomorrow, they take on Chippewa, and that's obviously a very tall order. Tim, you'll be down there tomorrow. Right. In the early preparation you've done looking at this Chippewa team, what kinds of challenges will they pose to Elyria Catholic tomorrow afternoon?
Well, you know, they're undefeated, so that tells you right now. I mean, obviously, you don't go undefeated without being a pretty good basketball team. Now, I don't believe they've played. I've looked at their schedule. I don't believe they played the same competition that Elyria Catholic has played. I'm not totally familiar with everybody that Chippewa has on their schedule, but I think Elyria Catholic plays a very, very strong schedule. And you know, obviously, I in my mind, Elyria Catholic's a load for anybody. They've got 3 6-footers. That's something that's kind of unheard of for girls basketball. They have the two Winnin twins are pretty much interchangeable, although I believe Allie is a gets more points and more rebounds. But Abby comes off the bench usually, although they've been starting all both of them together lately. It's like an interchangeable post player, and Eric Rothger has the luxury of having two big girls like that have, you know, they're not just big girls either. They're very athletic and very good. They can score, they can rebound. I've seen a couple of them take shots from the 3-point range, and they can make those shots. And then you've got Megan Scheibelhut, who was the goalie for the regional soccer team, and now she's also, of course, a very, very good basketball player. She's the one senior on the team that you have to kind of keep track of, because she's one that can shoot the ball very well from the 3-point range. She can go inside if she needs to, and she can come up with some big scoring games as well. You have those three, six, they're listed 6'1 and 6'2. You have three girls like that, it's got to give the other team fits trying to figure out how they're going to defend that. And then you've got Faith Williams, who's just one of the more outstanding point guards in the area. And then the fifth starter is Reagan Schill, who's coming off a pretty serious knee injury last year, and she's coming into form where she can be dangerous shooting the ball too. So all five of them can score. They've got a couple people coming off the bench. The Allegretto sisters come off the bench. They're pretty good, and they've got the one Griffin girl that comes off the bench. Eric's got a pretty nice group this year.
Yeah, no question about that. And again, they've got a tough task ahead tomorrow as they take on an unbeaten Chippewa team, a game that will tip at 1:30 tomorrow. Tim, we always appreciate you stopping by, giving us some of your time. And the next time we talk, hopefully we're still talking about tournament basketball, but we're getting into baseball season here. We're not that far away. It's right around the corner.
Kind of looking forward to it. There's some good baseball players coming back from last year that I'm looking forward to seeing out there. Going into all the individuals, but looking at some of the teams, I think you got to say Amherst, Keystone, Elyria Catholic, and Lake Ridge are probably four teams that you can look at are going to have outstanding seasons this spring. And of course, there's always teams that surprise you in the spring and start putting things together, and hopefully that'll be the case for Lorain County teams this year.
Yes, absolutely. But we need this doggone snow to melt first so we can get to playing consistently.
Seems every time we get a couple days where it's in the 40s and 50s and tease us a little bit, then we get hit with another haymaker.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly how it's gone. But Tim, great stuff as always, my friend. Thank you for stopping by.
Sure, Bullhead. Appreciate you having me on. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Again, that's Tim Gebhardt with the Chronicle-Telegram, breaking down some loco bats and some loco hoops as well.